brothers and sisters, welcome to our worship gathering. I'm glad to be here with you. Romans 1 gives us Paul's definition up front to his brothers and sisters of the gospel that makes us who we are. Paul is a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of God's name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. As we stand together to worship this morning, remember that you are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This is who you are. It's foundational to your identity. It is the motivation for your life now. You don't have another to compete with it. Let's sing.
Hey guys, I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy to sing with you, so we're going to do that, lots of it. Sing, who am I?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
My Father's house.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Sing that again.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
One more time.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of I am.
My Father's house.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. Breaks the power. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos?
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who rules the nations?
Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the
grave. Sing that again.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. grace I sing for all that you've done for me.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, would you please adopt a posture of humble and dependent prayer? Jesus, you showed up on the scene calling your people to repent, for the kingdom of God had arrived. You are the King of the kingdom, Lord Jesus. And you arrived having humbled yourself to take on human form and live among us, to let us hurt you the way that we hurt each other, to heal our brokenness, to comfort us in our need, to give us hope. You are not like the kings of the world who hoard power for their name's sake and push others down to build themselves up. You are the good king who came and laid his life down for his people to bring us near. God, we praise you. This plan, this gospel, the good news, that the kingdom of God is here, and it's not here to destroy us, it's here to welcome us home. The king himself has laid his life down to make us his own, and God has vindicated you, Jesus. You're not dead anymore. God rose you from the dead because your life was holy and acceptable to God. And you've made us holy and acceptable to God. This gospel, Lord, is the best news in heaven and on earth. It's what makes us who we are. It is our only hope in life and in death, that we belong to you, body and soul. God, would you make us a people all about this? Would you fill our hearts with the joy that is appropriate for the people of God who have been brought near? You fill our hearts with the hope that fits this gospel. Would you fill our hearts with your kind of love that lays itself down for others, that sacrifices itself for others? And would you put this gospel on our lips? We don't want to be ashamed of this gospel. It's the very power that has brought us near to you, that has made us sons and daughters and fellow heirs with Jesus. Forgive us for being ashamed of your gospel, and give us power by your Spirit to be bold heralds of the good news. Hey, world, your king has arrived and he loves you. He has not rejected you. Make us a people all about your gospel, God. In your holy name, amen.
Y'all can stand. We're going to sing one more.
I saw the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me from every fear. Those who look on him are radiant. Will never be ashamed. Will never be ashamed. was poor and cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies, the Son of God surrounds his saints. He will deliver them, he will deliver them.
Magnify,
magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever.
Taste and see.
Exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever.
See, magnify,
magnify.
Let us bless the Lord.
Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never-ending praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day. Exalt his name. together glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever.
Amen, amen. Hey, we get to hear from Stephen today, so give it up for Pastor Stephen.
Hello, everyone. You can turn in Romans, where Pastor Josh just read from. Romans chapter 1 is where we're going to be. I'm Stephen, one of your pastors here. We're going to pray for Pastor David, who right now, he's preaching three times, same message three times, at the Sending Church in Exodus over in Belmont. So we're going to pray for him, pray for me, pray for us. If you're joining us, last Sunday, Pastor David kicked off this series that we're in. We're taking a few weeks over this summer to review some of the distinctives that we have agreed upon at Sent Church, areas that Pastor David and the elders have come around and said, this is who we are. This is what we want to be about. And we're going through each one of those core values, things that we value greatly. And we're showing in the scripture what it looks like for us to walk these out and work these out in our lives and in the life of our church. We want God's hand on our church. We want his blessing. We want his spirit unleashed on us. We want to be full of his presence and his spirit as we love and care for each other. We want God to do what big God things here. We want him to do big God things within each one of us. We want him to do big God things in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our relationships, and in our church. And he has done big God things for us. And we want more. We want God to get what he rightfully deserves in Charlotte. And so we are ferociously pursuing these things because we want what God wants. And we want to be vessels focused to be poured out where he wants us poured out. So I'm going to pray over us, and then we'll jump in. Father, as we come to your word, as we come to this topic, we invite you. We invite the Spirit to make alive what has maybe been put on the shelf, to bring back to the forefront of our minds and our hearts, something so familiar that you would ignite the flame, that you would continue to ignite the flame of your word alive in our hearts. God, we pray for Pastor David as he ministers the gospel to his old friends and family at Exodus, that your spirit would awaken what is dead. Bring to life there. Use him greatly. Use this time for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. So in 2006, Brooke and I had been married for 2 years. We had the twins by that point. And like any young marriage, our marriage was tough. The first few years of marriage is tough regardless, but ours was tough. I did not know grace. I did not know forgiveness. I did not, I was a Christian, but I had not yet understood the workings of what that looks like in a marriage. And so there was turmoil, there was friction, and we were young, and, you know, we were 21, 22, and we really, you know, it was frustrating times. And by God's grace, a group of people and some books and some outside pastors helped us and began to walk with us and began to show us something that was extremely shocking to me. They began to show us how the gospel of Jesus, the news of Jesus, could have an actual daily impact on how we treat each other, how we talk to each other, how we listen to each other, how we forgive each other, how we show grace, what grace actually looks like in a marriage. And I was shocked. I was shocked because growing up, I believed, I had learned that believing in what Jesus has done got you into heaven. Okay? And then after you believe that, you move on to more important things. Like you believe the gospel and then you start fulfilling these biblical principles. You read the scripture and say, now what do I need to do? What do I need to do in order to be able to grow? The gospel to me, to us, it was elementary. It was pre-K. We were graduating from that. But a group of people showed us something that radically changed not only our marriage, but my life forever. I will forever be indebted to these people who helped me see how powerful the gospel is. So this is what we're going to look at today. Our value, our core value of gospel centrality. And so we're going to look at three things. And I apologize, no slides again. I think I promised last time I would have slides. There's one slide right there. I'm going to just throw that out there. Okay, we're going to look at three things. One, what is gospel? Two, what does it mean to be gospel-centered? And then third, what does it look like for Scent to be a gospel-centered church? So first, what is gospel? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul summarizes, so this is bringing a big thing down to earth in a few sentences. He summarizes and plainly says in verse 16 and 17 what this is. And he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, for it, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for everyone, to the Jews and also to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. For in it, in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So Paul summarizes the good news and he says, this is what it is. God saves. God saves. He rescues his lost children. He does this. The good news declared to us is that God, he saves. He saves. He reveals to us his power. He reveals, he delivers to us his righteousness. He shows us his righteousness. That's good news. And he, in his power, he delivers his righteousness to us. That's good news. And Paul is summarizing it by saying the central piece of the good news is that God did not leave us. It is that God, the power of God, brought about salvation for anyone who would believe. So we would say, Paul, okay, now what is it now? But you summarize it, what is it? He says that in chapter 1, verse 2 through 6. Read it with me. Don't read it with me. Follow along with me. Romans 1, 2 through 6. He says, this is the gospel of God, which God promised beforehand through his prophets and in the Holy Scripture concerning his son, who was a descendant from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Christ Jesus our Lord, through whom we now have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. So when we ask the scripture, what's the good news? Paul says, well, it begins. It began. He promised it beforehand. And it was a promise that God would fulfill, that he would not leave us up to our own abilities to work our way back to God after the fall. That the promised one would come, and through all the Old Testament, through the prophets, through the Holy Scripture, God would reveal his righteousness through the work of his Son. Concerning his Son, who was the Messiah, who was the descendant from David according to the flesh. He was the king that was promised. And then, at his resurrection, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God, in the resurrection of Jesus, declares, "This is, the Father says, this is my Son. He did it. He did it. He accomplishes salvation for us." So this is the central theme. He's the declared Son. This is the central theme of the Bible. This is the gospel of Jesus. It shows us, Paul is showing us here, that the whole of Scripture is centrally focused on the good news of what God accomplishes through Christ. The Bible, the whole Bible is about Jesus. The Bible isn't about us. It isn't about us being good and getting our act together. That is not good news. Good news is from Him, what He has done. Jesus even shows this in Luke chapter 24 as He's talking to the disciples. And He takes the Scripture. Jesus takes the Scripture. And starting with Moses and the prophets, He goes through the Word and says, that was me, that was me, and that was me. All of this is pointing to me. I fulfilled all of these laws. I have done everything that needed to be done. And so now, believing this news, every Christian that is a Christian becomes a follower of Jesus by placing faith in the work of Jesus. That's it. We believe that, church. Every Christian becomes a follower of Jesus simply by placing faith in the work of Jesus. Jesus came, He died, and He rose, and He's restoring all things to Himself. The good news of God's rescue is very simple. It is very simple. So simple, a small child can hear it and know it. But yet it is so deep and so glorious and complex that we could spend our lives, millions of years, digging into this good news and never scratch the surface. The news of the rescue. God created everything glorious. He created us in His image to enjoy Him and worship Him. And we said no. We turned our backs on Him, and it fractured all history. It fractured every square inch of this earth. And God said, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this. All through the Old Testament, we see what's coming. The Messiah, He's going to fix this. He's going to restore what has been broken. The kingdom will come through this man. Jesus comes and He bears every piece of guilt and shame that we could ever face. He takes all of the sins and accusations and crimes of the world, and He bears them on Him, on His perfect self, and He dies a death of crucifixion on a cross. Then, because of His righteousness, because of His holiness, because of His spotlessness, it says here, the Spirit of holiness affirms, and the Father raises Him in victory. Jesus promises now that He will restore all things to Himself. And church, that right there, that is our basis. That is our foundation. That is news. We are a news people. We are a news people. This is not something we do. Paul does not say, this is good news. This is the gospel I preach. Y'all, get your act together. You're never going to get into heaven like that. Paul says, this is the good news. Jesus. It is something, it is not something we do, it is something we believe in. What is the gospel? We are made right with God. We are justified by faith in Jesus. And what's marvelous here, and this is what I love about the potential here in Charlotte, is anyone could get in on this. Everyone, to all who believe. There's no earning news. You can't earn news. You hear news. You receive news. God does all, in this news, God does all of it. Our only participation is the sin that made it necessary. Jesus actually paid it all. So we see Romans, the scripture, throughout the whole of scripture, what the gospel is now to the question, what does it mean to be gospel-centered? So I invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, the Apostle Paul again writing to this church, he explains here that the gospel is far more than just a ticket into heaven. It's the very news of what God has done in Christ that develops us into the people, the husbands, the workers, into the people, the parents, that God intends for us to be. So growing up, and what I shared with you earlier is, I was wrong. I was wrong. I grew up thinking you grow up past the gospel. We don't grow past the gospel. We grow in the gospel. We grow up in the gospel. Yes, we do get eternity and we do get heaven. But the gospel is news that both gives us life and it nurtures us. The story of Jesus both gives us life and nurtures us and grows us up. Tim Keller famously says, the gospel is not just the diving board. The gospel is the pool. He also says, the gospel is not just the ABCs, but is the A through Z of the Christian life. It is inaccurate to think that the gospel is what saves non-Christians and then Christians mature by trying hard to live according to biblical principles. It is more accurate to say that we are saved by believing the gospel and then we are transformed in every part of our minds, hearts, and lives by believing the gospel more and more deeply as life goes on. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15, Paul says, shows us what a life centered in the gospel looks like. Verse 6 says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, our Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We'll pause here. Okay, so the Apostle Paul is saying, the same way as you have received, the same way you received. How did you receive Him? How did you receive Christ Jesus? You believed the news. We heard the news. Someone told you the news. God did this. We said, wow, I'm in. I believe that. He says, just as you have heard and you believe the gospel, He moves on to say, so walk in Him. Live in this. Keep believing the gospel. How do we grow? We keep believing the gospel. We do not move past it. He even says in verse 7, just as you were taught. Just as you were taught. We keep going back to the gospel. At our new birth, we were enrolled in the school of the gospel. It is a school we never graduate from, but we are always growing in. Our growing up in the likeness of Jesus, which is sanctification, is increased in the proportion of our understanding and growing in the gospel of Jesus. We follow Christ. We act like Him. We look like Him when we have seen and heard what He has done. So I can, back to 2006, this is the testimony here, a quick little testimony time. I didn't know the extent of God's work in grace for me. I didn't know how deep His grace was, how unforgiving, how unimaginable I didn't deserve Him. And yet, He extended grace to me. When that became a reality within our marriage, we were able to show each other the grace that Christ has shown us, and see the grace that Christ has shown us, and then see the grace that we were able to give. God glorifying actions happen. So he says, walk in him. And then he uses these two words. In verse 7, he says, rooted and built up. This is where we're going with centered. Rooted and built up. We could be a rooted, gospel-rooted church. Okay? But we're saying we are centered on, we are focused on. He uses this term rooted and built up to describe, obviously, like a tree. Some of you don't know this, but I love trees. I love trees. I have a small grove-ish that I'm trying, a grove that I'm trying to get in the backyard. And so we planted a bunch of trees this past year. This morning, I went and picked the first fruit, the first and only fruit this year, but the first fruit, and I ate it. It was a plum. It was marvelous. And but I love trees. But the thing with trees are they have to have a good root system. And also, if you see a tree with one trunk that is growing crooked, it's inevitable. The tree is not going to last for a very long time. A tree must be centered and focused. It must be rooted, and it must be balanced. It's a call for focus, balance on stabilization. And Paul is saying here that believing the gospel, walking in the gospel, stabilizes our lives. It allows us to grow properly. It allows us to have a firm foundation. So the world is constantly shaking us. We live in a in Ephesians, Paul says we have a tendency to be tossed back and forth in life. And he doesn't want that. God doesn't want that for us. So he wants us to be rooted and stable. We want stable lives. We crave stability. Paul says, in the gospel we find stability. Focused. It is the target of our lives. It is the center. We are saturated and empowered by this. It is the blood that runs through our veins. So, in verse 8, I'll read it, verse 8 through 15. He's coming to a point where he's saying, many other things will want to establish themselves in our lives as roots. Many other things want to vie for our stability. See that no one takes you captive by philosophies and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. He goes on this glorious tear, declaring our position in Christ. For in him, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. And church, you have been filled in him, who is the head of all and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him, we've been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the power of the working God. So, church, in our lives, everything is calling out to us that we would not only pledge our devotion and allegiance to it, but it's promising us a centering, a balancing. If you do this, if you make this amount of money, if you do these things, then your life will be balanced, things will go well. Paul is saying we are rooted in the work of Christ. Therefore, we can be stable. Other things do not fulfill what God has promised. They will not stabilize us. No political party will stabilize us. No new job will stabilize us. No new house will stabilize us. Being distracted, pulled away, back and forth, empty deceit, philosophies, the next best thing, human traditions, they're calling us away. And Paul says, be rooted and built up in Christ. Built up in Him. We move from spiritual childhood into adolescence, into teenhood, and into adulthood, and into maturity by believing the gospel. This is why when one of the Apostle Paul's friends, Peter, when he was being racist, he didn't say to Peter, stop being racist. Just stop it. This is ridiculous, man. You've been following Jesus for so long. Why? The Apostle Paul comes back to what he knows would help Peter be freed from his racism. He goes back to and says, Peter, you've forgotten the gospel that declares victory over any personal pedestaling of your own nationality. He calls him back. He doesn't just say, stop it. He says, look in the gospel. Look in the gospel and see what God has for you. It's not in line with the gospel. So church, we are motivated by the gospel to live lives in line with the gospel of God. So finally, what does it look like for us? What does it look like for us? One, I want to pause, and we should briefly praise God that our church is, it is a gospel-centered church. So we should praise God that not only in the pulpit, not only what this church has been established on, but in the lives of our people, we are continually resourcing the good news of Jesus as the lifeblood for our growth and maturity. This church, so I don't know if you've ever been a part of a church that's not centered on the gospel. If you have, you'd be really grateful and thankful for this church. Okay? So I want to praise God. Praise God that this church was established this way. I actually got a time hop or whatever it's called, where five or six years ago, I wasn't a part of this church, but I was a visiting preacher. I preached at the movie theater this Sunday, however many years ago, and I remember what I preached. Gospel centrality. Okay? This is what we're about. And so God has done that. God has made us, He has let us see this. He has let us become mature in a lot of places. So praise to Him. Praise to Him. And so as we look at these things, I want us to look at it in the proper avenue. Our church as a whole will only be as centered on the gospel as our people are centered on the gospel. That we all get to do personal inventory on what is it that we're running to that we think will center us. What is it? What are the things that are tossing us away from what we know will stabilize us? Where are the parts of our lives, church? Where are the parts of our lives that have not seen gospel light shine in yet? We are to grow and to be built up. As I mentioned earlier in Ephesians, it says we're to be built up in the body to mature manhood so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, craftiness, and schemes. We're to speak this truth, the gospel truth in love, and to grow up in every way into the head who is Jesus. So here's very quickly some points of hopefully extreme application that if you want to move into this or continue to move into this, Here they are. First one is this. We are news people, not advice people. Our tendency is to try to fix things. We're to deliver the news. We're to deliver the news of what Christ has done. So what we do, church, I would encourage us, if we want to be centered on the gospel, we must talk about the gospel. We must speak of it regularly. The word God, the word Jesus, should be I heard something recently, I think it's NPR, talk about how people use the word very too much. I think it's very. Very too much. You just start substituting the word very, you know. Jesus, that word, Jesus, God, should be a regular theme that comes out of our mouths. We give news. We deliver news. When our children are upset, we deliver news. When our neighbors need help, we help. We deliver news. We're a news people. We point each other to Jesus, not what they have to do or should do. We are a Jesus first church. Jesus first. So if someone's in despair, we help them. We get them to Jesus. When someone has lost all hope, we remind them of Jesus. I remember Pastor David, when I was in a really bad funk, just weeping, we were across the table at Panera. He just looked at me and said, "Listen what God's done to you. Listen what God has done." And he declared for a few minutes the good news of Jesus. And that was exactly what I needed. In an identity crisis, we don't need a pat on the back. We need good news. Second is this. We take responsibility for the news giving of others. Okay? We take responsibility for the news giving of others. So this is discipleship. Okay? We always wonder, what does it look like? I don't know how to make disciples. This is discipleship. Discipleship disciples are made only when the gospel is believed. So we develop in the good news so that we can believe it better and that we can help others believe it better. So in other words, while our friends and our neighbors and the people in our saint communities, while we're all being tossed to and fro, we're the ones that say, "I'm going to be the news giver. I'm going to bring in the stabilizer. I'm going to remind you of the root that Christ is." And so when the world is pulling our families, we pull back with the gospel. We deliver to our kids. We deliver to other kids, the kids in our sent community. We remind them of what God has done through Christ. We proclaim to Charlotte, "Charlotte, you're mine. I'm on the hook here." We look at our neighbors and we say, "God has sent me to bring news to them. That's me. That's on me." We own these things. This is being centered on the gospel. Jesus. How so? Because in the gospel, Jesus comes to the world. He looks at the world and he says, "I got this. I'm taking the responsibility here. I'm going to do everything to win these people." And so because we believe that, we know that, we're assured in that, we now, as Christ has been sent, we can be sent and look at the people that God has sent us to and say, "These are my people. I'm delivering the gospel here." Third is go to class. So I said we don't graduate from the elementary school of the gospel, that we are enrolled in our master's classes. In order to develop in the gospel, we must put in the hard work to mature in gospel understanding. We must grow up. We must grow up. What this looks like is you wake up. You wake up early in the morning and you go pray. You go to your prayer closet and you pray. That's what this looks like. This looks like opening the Bible and saying, God, show me here what you've done. He'll do it. He'll do it. It looks like reading books that are helpful and centered on the gospel. It looks like participating deeply and fully in the community that God's put you in. It is saying, this is important to me. I'm going to grow here. Growth will come from this. I'm going to grow here. I have 1 minute. Very quickly, there are two case studies. And I think both relate to, this is why it hits home for me, when the Lord let me see the power of the gospel for everyday life. The first was forgiveness, and the second was love. I was just trying to forgive just so I could get over it. You know, we've all been done wrong. We all keep being done wrong. We do wrong. But forgiveness, you know, the moral act is simply, you just got to let that go. You just got to let that go. That's not good for you. And you're like, you know what? You're right. That's not good, man. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to let that go. But the gospel understanding and the gospel shows us a different way, a biblical, a Jesus way of forgiveness that in the gospel shows us that God erases. I'm gonna quote actually Pastor David's mentor, Dr. Mark Becton here. The gospel, God erases our debt against him. And as Jesus' followers, we have his nature within us. We have his capacity to forgive. And when we think someone's offense is too much to forgive, you stop and compare it to all Jesus went through to forgive you and me. And suddenly, our effort to forgive doesn't seem so demanding. So the gospel shows us, compels us, allows us, empowers us to forgive all of the people that have harmed you. Every one of them. It is available because the gospel has said it so. So that truth right there transformed my life. I can say now I don't hold any bitterness or ill will toward people. Not because I just need to get that off my back, but because when I look at the gospel and I see how much I've been forgiven, and the availability of what God has done. This is how the gospel comes to bear in our everyday life. The second one is love. Love is the distinguishing factor the mark of a gospel-centered person. It says in John 13, by this all the people will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. What does that look like, Jesus? What does it look like? It looks like Jesus. It looks like absolutely laying your life down constantly. Saying, I'm going to conduct my life in a way that Jesus conducted his life. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. And I'm going to lay my life down constantly. So what does this look like? This looks like watching someone's kids. This looks like changing someone's oil. This looks like sitting with someone that is in deep grief. This looks like in an emergency, you got all these things that you got going on, you got planned, and your brother and sister, your neighbor, your friend is in trouble, something happens. You drop it all. You lay your life down and say, I'm here. It's showing up. Jesus showed up. That's gospel. Jesus showed up. Now, he is inviting us to show up. To love one another. And when that happens, as that happens, it does not go unnoticed. As we love and serve, as we forgive, people will look and say, how in the world? He did what to you and you still forgave him? How? Why would you do that for him? Why would you cancel your plans? I knew you were excited about this thing. Why would you do this? Why would you give? This is crazy, church. Why would you sell your possessions and give to those in need? Why? Because my father taught me to be a good moral person. No. No. It is because Christ has done this for us. We've received this, and now we get to instruct our children in it. Now we get to teach obedience, not so that our house is peaceful, though that works, but we get to teach obedience because Christ was obedient. And now we get to be obedient because Christ was obedient. And our kids need that. They need Christ obedience, heart change obedience. And then finally, we relax. We relax. We really relax. Because this gospel says to us, he's done it all. He's done it all. You're not going to add to this. So we work hard, and we proclaim good news, and we try to stay centered on the gospel. We stay in balance. We're rooted. We're being built up. We care for each other. We love each other. We're displaying the kingdom. And then we rest. We rest in his completed work for us. Resting is declaring to the world, I'm not God. Resting is declaring to ourselves, I'm not God. I can rest. He's got this. He is going to finish the gospel. He's going to restore all things to himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. I pray now that we would continue to believe, that you would drive it deep in our lives where we don't see, where we don't see your glory on display in our lives, that you would surround us with news. God, I pray that we would remain as you have established us, focused on you, glorifying you, targeted on you, rooted in you. God, all of the spaces and places that we that pull us, that throw us off, or that we think will stabilize us, God, please expose those to us so we can repent and get back to the sufficiency of the cross and the power of the resurrection for our lives. We pray that in Christ's name, amen. All right, we're going to respond. We're going to respond today. I would encourage all of us to do that, especially as we receive communion, to search the heart and ask of the Lord to reveal where are the places where the gospel hasn't landed. And then from that, I would encourage you to tell some people in your sent community, I need help here. I need some news here. And receive that. And also, this time, if you want to glorify God by giving, there's the boxes at the back, and you can also give online. We give as a response to the gospel. And then also, those who are Christ's followers, you are invited to receive the bread and the juice, to remember that you come with empty hands, and Christ fills them by his body broken and his blood shed. And if you have children over in the other building, I invite you to go receive them, come back in, and sing truth, sing news to your kids, and have us sing news and truth to your kids. All right, stand with me. I'm going to pray. Father, where you have spoken, may that seed fall on good ground. Change us. We respond now to your word. In Christ's name, amen.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Sing, oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus.
Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Wonderful Jesus, oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Death could not hold you, you are victorious. Death could not hold. Victorious, praise to is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our Father, the all-created one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior,
I believe.
Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
Our judge and our defender.
Judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you, descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high.
In life eternal.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe
Lord, thank you that by putting yourself right in the middle of our mess and choosing to put yourself in the middle of a cross, that we get to respond by putting you in the middle of our lives. And thank you that every time we try to put something else there, that every time we try to kneel and bow to something else that we think will work, that you draw us back, and that by what you did, it doesn't matter how many times we do that or what we try to put at the center, but you've won forever, that you've defeated our sin forever, that it's not just a one time, we don't have to earn it, but we never have to earn it again. I pray especially for those of us who think that somehow that gets reversed after we start following you, that you would free us from ever thinking that bearing our cross means earning it or having to live up to your standard, but that you remind us that it's just a response and that it can only come from grace and from freedom and from acceptance and not for it. Thank you that you've made this church a church full of people who are all about you and your gospel and going and telling it and proclaiming it to those around us. I pray that we would see this room grow, not because we're good people or because we put on a good production, but because we have gone out and shared news that people want to hear more about. And because we live our lives in such a way that reflects you, that people want to come and see what this place is about, and that when they come and see, they would find you, and that you are all we're about. Would you help us as we go to meet you at the cross again, over and over again, and to go and from there tell people where we met you, and that they can find you there too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated for a second. Two quick announcements. The first is we have that app. We have an app, and we invite everyone, we would love, if you have a smartphone, if you don't have a smartphone, I respect you, but you can't get an app. I respect you, though. Get the app. It's we're gonna have this slide up at the end, so if you want to get it that way, download the app. It's how we're going to be communicating. We're going to be developing in how we use it as well, so download the app. The second is this: next week, or starting in July, that's next week, we're going to have two Sent Kids classrooms. So it's praise God for this. It's a big deal. If you are serving in children right now, you know how big of a deal this is, because you got little bitty babies with not so little bitty babies, and that doesn't always work out. So now we will have two rooms, one for smaller, one for a little bit older. I don't know exactly the ages of that yet. I should know that, but zero to two, two to four. Thank you, Savannah. 6 months, what? 6 months is good. 6 months to two, and then the other one's two to four. And so what this means right now, we do have just barely enough of people that can serve in that route, and most of those people are probably pretty tired. So we would encourage anyone that would love to serve. It's divide and conquer here. So we're trying to make it easier for our volunteers to care for and gospel those children, babies, and up to four-year-old. All right, Sent Kids. Stan, I'm going to pray us out here. If it wasn't explicitly clear in the message, our strategy as a church, our growth strategy, is tell people about Jesus. Okay? So we're going to do that here on Sundays. We're going to do that in our Sent communities. We're going to do that. Hopefully we're going to do that around our tables with our friends and neighbors. But we put all our eggs in that basket. Tell people about Jesus. All right, Stan, I'm going to pray us out. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for letting some of our church come together and hear from your word and sing praise to you. Thank you for engaging with us. And now, God, as we go, use us in your world. Send us out as Christ was sent to go bless, live, and sacrifice. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Have a great week.
I was broken.